Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Rizzold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance you need. Oh, wow. It has been quite a week. And I would just, this is Single Awareness Day, Valentine's Day, and we have a very special Valentine's treat for you. This is our Valentine's gift to you.
Is that what this is?
This is, yes. It is our thrill-packed, exciting, best-of, one-year anniversary show. Yay, yes.
So Caffeinated Thoughts Radio has been on the air for a year now.
And that's really hard to believe. It's gone very fast.
It has.
And we've inflicted you with our show every... every week, and you're still listening.
And we don't know who to blame.
Well, we do, but
I guess we do know who to blame. Speaking of which,
yeah, we want to thank a few folks. Beginning with our sponsors, we have Tim Hibbing and Fortress Wealth Management, Scott Owen and Crosswalk Ministries, Travis Rizzold and Modern Woodmen of America, and
thank you very much. To you guys that, yes. that were willing to, or maybe silly enough to sponsor the show.
Right, and of course, then we have Myers and Associates, and yeah, it's been great. And we also want to thank Chris Roloff here at the Truth Network for coming to us with the idea of a radio show and making it happen. He saw something in us that we did not see.
Yeah.
And maybe we're still not seeing after a year, but we're keeping on, keeping on.
You know, the problem was he was reading the blog, and we seemed so impressive in the blog.
Yeah.
He didn't know any better.
Right. That's when we could actually sit and take time and really think about what we're going to write and say. Here it happens kind of spontaneously, so... There's a lot of things that, yeah, could be said that probably would never end up on our blog.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'd also like to thank Steve Riker and Bart Munson, who've both co-hosted the show with us multiple times.
Definitely. I think in this month, probably one of them. Well, Steve, maybe you'll come back since
could
I'll
be
in CPAC coming up here pretty soon.
Yep. That's right. You're going to CPAC, which is very cool. Yep. And we'll have to get Steve back again. Last but not least, we'd like to thank our producer, Ron Carlson, for lots and lots of hours behind the scenes and for putting up with us.
He makes the magic happen, if we can call it magic.
Yeah, it's the magic. And also, Ron makes all the Dr. Johnny Fever Genuine Radio Station coffee, which keeps Caffeinated Thoughts Radio going.
Yes.
So, thanks to everybody.
Very much so, yes. We want to get started with some clips from our first interview. Our very first interview was Dr. Sam Clovis. I think it was our first interview. This was from February 22nd of last year, and Sam is commenting on Obamacare.
I think it's a great question, and I've actually read the bill, and I would...
How many years did it take?
It took 3 weekends. I took over 100 pages of notes on it. I did a financial analysis of the bill. I thought it was grossly underfunded, and it was. My estimate was in March of 2010, before the vote, that the bill would cost us about $2.6 trillion over 10 years instead of $1 trillion, and I found out I was wrong. It's actually north of $2.6 trillion now, so you're direct to your question on the drag. What has happened is it has taken money out of people's pockets. It's cost way more in taxes, because this is where we're starting to see, but also people who go online or people who are getting insurance through the exchanges or even have employer insurance still, like I do in those situations. The circumstances are it's costing more. In my own house this year, my health insurance bills are $6,000 more than they were a year ago. $6,000. I can't buy my wife a new washer and dryer that she needs. We can't replace the refrigerator that needs replacing. That's car payments that are being deferred. I mean, we're making our payments, but I mean, see, what happens is the disposable income available to people goes down, and because the disposable income goes down, we're not expanding the economy. Our debt is increasing at twice the rate as our GDP is increasing, and you have to get that's upside down. We need to reverse that. And so all of these factors come to play as taking money out of people's pockets, therefore dampening consumption, thus slowing the creation of jobs. So all of these things are related, and it all goes back to one thing, and that's Obamacare.
Well, I tell you what, Sam is a brilliant guy. There's no question about that.
Right.
And how many guys do you know that actually read that bill? Took him 3 weekends, but he read that bill.
I'm not sure I can count them on one hand, actually, people I personally know who did that.
Well, I don't know anybody personally except Sam. But, right. I mean, even people that we don't know, it's hard to know actually who actually would suffer through that
right.
monstrosity.
I know Steve King liked carrying it around. Whether he actually read it or not, I don't know.
It's over 2,000 pages. It's a beast for anybody. But no, Sam's a brilliant guy. We've had him on the show a couple of times. We hope to have him back again. He's an Iowa treasure.
Yes, he is.
He really is. On this next cut, we've got Sam talking about the Supreme Court and what he would look for in a Supreme Court justice.
I have a very clear test for that. And that's if a Supreme Court candidate cannot explain to me natural law and natural rights, they will not get the opportunity to get my vote. If they can adequately explain that, and the essence and sense of going back to all the way back to the 4th century and Aquinas, and then through Althusius and some of the others, that the great philosophers that we've spoken about, natural law and natural rights, if they can explain that and understand it the way that I think that people who understand the founding of this country did, then they have a pretty good shot at my vote. Otherwise, they're not going to get it.
And, of course, that was when he was still running for U.S. Senate.
Right.
That's what he's talking about, right. Confirmation vote anyway. But he, you know, he's very right. If a judge doesn't understand natural rights, if they don't understand natural law, they're disqualified to serve on the bench.
Well, I thought this was classic, too, because, you know, what was it a few years ago? I think it was Grassley asked Hagen where rights came from, and she said, oh, that's a very good question, you know. And here we've got Sam, you know, talking about Aquinas, and then he's talking about Althusius, who's a German Calvinist political philosopher that nobody's ever heard of. But,
right.
I mean, it's just, I shouldn't say
except
nobody,
those Calvinist nerds.
Yeah. Anyway, but anyway, I thought it was another example of Sam being such a sharp guy, such a experienced guy. He has a wealth of knowledge and experience.
Right, and just, you know, think, if you don't have a foundational belief that our rights come from God, then they come from government, and then they can be taken away.
But did you hear about this? Just on one of the news shows the other day, they were, who was it? It was Cuomo, was interviewing Judge Moore. And he got in an argument with Judge Moore about where rights came from. And Judge Moore, of course, was pointing to the Declaration of Independence, where it says those rights come from God.
Right.
And Cuomo says, no, they don't. They come from the collective. They come from man. You know that.
Wow.
I mean, it was incredible.
Well, that would explain a lot about New York.
Well, actually, though, this is one of the fundamental questions of our time.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it really is.
It is. And statists believe that rights come from government. Constitutionalists, limited government people, they understand our rights come from God. The government's role is to protect those rights, not grant those rights. Period.
All right, we got to keep moving here so we can get through all these. Our next one is a clip from an interview we did with Dr. James Wanless, and he's telling his story. James was just
and he found inspiration in a very strange source.
Well, he did. He was just minding his own business, doing research for NASA or whatever on space weather.
Right.
And he goes to
which
this
sounds
conference.
Riveting.
Yeah. He goes to the conference, and he has kind of a revelation. So tell us what convinced you that the Green Movement was an alternative religious worldview.
Yeah, this happened a little bit before just before that course that I taught. In fact, I've been funded for, I guess, just over a decade, 12 years, by National Science Foundation and NASA for my space weather research, which studies all kinds of storms that are going on in space that affect our power grids and satellites and airplanes and things like that. And there's a big conference that I go to every December, usually. And in 2006, I believe it was, Al Gore was the plenary speaker at this conference. There were about 20,000 PhDs there. And he was the speaker, and he came there to tell us all about global warming and how we need to become activists to save the planet and so on. And I was a little stunned by this, first of all, because he's not an expert on any of these things, but we had him now telling us, you know, all these details, and he made a few exaggerations, to say the least, and I was so just stunned that the scientists who were there were just applauding, they were thrilled, and that kind of opened my eyes to something that I hadn't been aware of before, because scientists frequently are in their little ivory towers. I sit and I work on my data, I look at my satellite information, I don't look at what's going on in the world around me, but here the world around me was coming to my conference and telling me I have to do certain things. And so, you know, he was saying sort of that this is this big moral issue, it's the most important moral issue, and I'm a Christian as well, so of course I want to do the right thing. And so Al Gore essentially is my go-to guy. He's the one who inspired me to explore the issue of exactly what does it take then, you know, to be a moral person, you know, recycling paper, plastic, buying carbon credits, whatever it may be. And then I noticed that this was huge in culture after that. It's kind of like when you have a baby and you buy a minivan, you know, if you have got several children, you suddenly notice that you never noticed before, everybody is driving these minivans.
Right, it's called a familiarity basis.
Yeah, right. I noticed, like, wow, this green
stuff, I had a couple of those things.
Everywhere. It's so, everywhere. It's in your hotel rooms. It's everywhere. And so I had to study, you know, what does the scripture say about these issues? And it turns out that, you know, my book, Resisting the Green Dragon, puts all the results of my studies together. But there's a really a one-to-one correspondence between the environmentalist worldview and the Christian worldview. One is in error, the other is wrong, but the green movement today has a whole well-developed worldview. It's got doctrines of sin and salvation, of God and man, of heaven and hell, etc., etc., etc. You can easily map one-to-one, and I do that in my book, just to show that this is not about the science. It's about, you know, really, it's about the collapse of the Christian civilization of the West and the seeking of people for some sense of meaning. And it's a reversion to something that's really, really old paganism, which is why my book's called Resisting the Green Dragon. It's an allusion to James, the apostle, that he talks about resisting the devil. This is not something new. It's just dressed up in scientific garb, if you like.
Now, that cut was a little bit long, but we wanted everybody to get the entire gist of it. One thing that Steve Ryker and I got such a kick out of is knowing that Al Gore basically was the genesis for Dr. Wunlus writing this book.
Yeah, that was perfect. And that was one of the shows I had missed, but listening to that, and I do listen to our show, it gave a sense of just the one thing that struck me is here's Al Gore coming to speak to 20,000 PhDs.
Yeah.
I know he invented the internet, but really what, you know, made him qualified to do that?
I know that was one of the things that had Wunlus so concerned, is all these PhDs are over there just drooling over this guy.
Yeah, right.
That scary thought.
Right. And I think we've got enough time for Chelson.
Yeah.
Chelson is with the Institute on Religion and Democracy. She also wrote a book called Distortion, How the New Christian Left is Twisting the Gospel and Damaging the Faith. And she was sharing her story with us back in September.
And I totally bought into it. So I wanted to write about my experience and help faithful Christians understand, okay, there is this leftist political movement in our churches. We have to understand how to identify it and then how to expose it, and then how to influence the millennials that we have and bring them back to authentic Christianity.
Okay, Chelsea, we got to back you up just a little bit here. So did I hear you just say that you were neck deep in this? That you bought, you drank the Kool-Aid. You bought what they were selling.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to say it. I definitely drank the Kool-Aid. You know, I was raised in a very conservative Assemblies of God Christian home, and went to college, a public university, and got involved in a campus ministry at another college nearby, and it had the word Christian in it, so I automatically thought, oh, it must be sound. I started going.
Oh, wow.
Well,
it's unfortunate. Whoops. That isn't always the case anymore.
It's certainly not the case, and that's something I definitely want your listeners to know. But anyway, I started coming home and fighting with my parents and telling them that they were bigoted or hateful because they weren't endorsing and affirming same-sex behavior, or that they were not for economic justice if that looked like abortion when it was necessary. And I was a total feminist. I was confusing social justice for the expanding the nanny state and welfare and mass amnesty for illegal immigrants. I just was coming back with a political agenda, and my parents knew something was wrong. But I wrote this book because my parents had no idea who was influencing me. They didn't know the books I was reading, what was being taught. So that's what I try and do in Distortion. I try and outline, this is what your kids might be being taught. Mm-hmm. And if they're coming home fighting with you about same-sex marriage or whatever it might be that you know is counter to Scripture, this is what you need to know, whether that be Scripture or social science that always affirms Scripture, to counter what your kids are being taught. Because honestly, authentic Christianity is learned most in the home.
And this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
You and your spouse are like two chemicals that become combustible when mixed. Your actions and reactions just tend to set each other off. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Early in your marriage, the differences brought fireworks that brought spark and energy to your lives. But the addition of busyness and bitterness have created a concoction that simply explodes and rocks the foundation of your marriage. Understanding how you and your spouse respond when threatened can bring stability to your volatile mixture. One tendency is to become aggressive and to push for solution. We call them attackers. The other is to run from potential conflict. We call them escapers. Two attackers have quick combustion, but the smoke clears quickly. But if you have an attacker and an escaper, the explosion takes longer, but the fallout can be more devastating. For healthy chemistry with your spouse, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is our best of anniversary show where we are inflicting you like a plague with some of the interviews that stand out in our mind. Now, granted, this we can't be exhaustive.
There are people that we're probably missing that, that could have easily been a part of the show. So
Michelle Malkin,
for instance, yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have a clip from her today. But that was definitely, that was a highlight moment, I think, for both of us. And getting her on the show was a real delight and a treat. If you're just joining us, we are playing selected clips from our shows over the last year. Yes, it has been 1 year. Scary, huh? And next up, we have Steve Lonigan. Steve is the Director of Monetary Policy with American Principles Project. In this clip we're going to play, he's talking about the Fed. And he's launched a project called Fix the Dollar.
Brilliant guy.
We're watching the American dollar being debased by a Federal Reserve Bank that simply prints money out of thin air. And when I say prints it out of thin air, that's exactly what they do. They just create money at an astonishing rate. And there's nothing behind the money that they create it only exists as long as Americans in the world believe it's worth something. There was a time through the majority of American history that American money was backed by gold, it was backed by silver, it had real value. You could walk into a bank and you could redeem your certificate, your Federal Reserve note, for something of tangible value that couldn't be taken away from you. Right now, if you were to walk into the bank with your Federal Reserve note, all you can ask to redeem it for is maybe your share of that subprime mortgage portfolio that they have sitting in their asset balance sheet. What you're seeing because of this, and really that's not it, if you think about it, the bank has been buying up these toxic assets from the big banks, so their assets are a bunch of toxic assets. That's what backs the American dollar.
That's encouraging. So they buy black holes.
In the last decade, 10 years ago, there was $664 billion in cash in currency in circulation. There's $2.79 trillion today. That's over a 400% increase in the amount of money floating around out there in 10 years. Now, what does this mean? The simplest lesson that every American knows is from economics, whether they took economics or not, is about supply and demand. The more you have of something, the less it's worth. And what we've done is we've taken Americans who have worked hard and saved all of their lives, put money in the bank, they've been frugal, they've scraped, they've made sacrifices. If you walk into a bank right now and you've managed in your lifetime to save that iconic number of $1 million, which is still a lot of money in most people's minds is sort of like a milestone towards being financially independent. Mm-hmm. If you have $1 million in the bank, they'll pay you a whopping $10,000 a year in interest. Maybe $12,000 if you're lucky, if you want an FDI-insured safe investment. That's not enough money to pay your rent on a decent apartment in most places, or to have the kind of liberty or freedom that you think you'd have when you become a quote-unquote millionaire. So the Federal Reserve Bank, by being able to print money out of nothing, has basically relegated savers and people who accumulate wealth to obscurity. I mean, they're obsolete. We don't need savers anymore. We just print money out of nothing. Through the entire course of human history, any society that has been built on a structure of paper money eventually collapses. Now, I'm not on your show predicting some apocalyptic collapse.
Oh, sure.
There's no scientific proof that that's going to happen tomorrow or whenever. But I'll tell you this, if you're a middle-income family and you're out of work and you're losing your house in foreclosure, you're living your own little apocalypse.
I love that line. You're living your own little apocalypse. That is so true. And my favorite clip with Steve Lonigan was at the tail end of an interview. I think we had him on a couple different times, right? So I can't remember which interview this was.
I don't remember either, but this is priceless.
Yes. Steve, thank you so much for coming on. We look forward to having you at our briefing on the 20th.
Absolutely.
I am really looking forward to being out in Iowa, so thank you guys.
Hey, very welcome. So, yeah, be sure to register. Go to CaffeinateThoughts.com and click the Caffeinate Thoughts briefing link to register for our briefing on September 20th. And Steve is gone. And we'll be back. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio.
He left in a hurry.
Yeah, he did. He had to go. Fix that dollar. We'll be back. I'm shocked more interviewees haven't done that to us. So, yeah.
Beep.
That was nice.
Bye-bye, guys.
And, of course, so we had Dr. Hebe on a couple different times. And last time she was on, we were talking about Ebola.
there are a couple unknowns. One is when they actually start spreading the virus. I mean, it's actually true that the more you're symptomatic, the more viral load you have, the more infectious you are. But when it exactly starts, I don't think we know. We also don't know about how long it remains live on fomites being inanimate objects that transmit disease. So, you know, Duncan goes to the emergency room, and he signed into the emergency room, probably chewed on the pen, touched the arms of the chair. So, you know, think about when you go to the emergency room. What do? You know, you sit next to people.
I don't chew on the pen.
I'm in the habit, I guess. Okay. But, you know, he grabbed the styrofoam cup from the coffee dispenser. Who knows what he did? We don't know how long that virus lasts on those inanimate objects. I've heard between 3 and 10 days. I've heard 2 hours. I mean, that's one of those unknowns we really don't know at this point. And so until we know those things, we got issues.
I actually had a listener contact me, and they were not amused because I thought that was so funny when she started talking about this guy chewing on his pen.
Yeah,
I don't know, something about it at the time just really thought I really thought it was funny. But
I could say if I ever had the propensity to chew on a pen in an ER, I won't do it anymore after that interview. So then we had Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, who discussed Common Core with us, and that's a topic we've talked about a few times.
I've got two fundamental concerns with Common Core. My first is, never before in our country have we allowed the federal government to make local curriculum decisions. It's a violation of the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. It's a violation of federal law. It's the existing federal law. And for decades, we have understood, for centuries now, we've understood these decisions should be made at the local level by locals, teachers, parents, local school boards, local districts, not at the federal government level. So my first philosophical concern is this top-down approach where the Obama administration is saying, if we're going to make you pay back Race to the Top dollars. We're going to take away No Child Left Behind waivers. We're going to, not only that, we're going to give tens of millions of dollars to Park and Smart Balance to develop these tests, making this a federally driven approach. So first, philosophically, I trust parents and teachers, not bureaucrats in D.C., to come up with these curriculum standards. The second concern I've got, so the first is philosophical. Mm-hmm. There should never be a one-size-fits-all usurpation by these bureaucrats in D.C. But my second concern is much more practical. I've got three young kids. My youngest is now in the third grade. Last year he was in the second grade. Any parent that's undecided about Common Core, ask your kids to bring home some of the math homework. And so, my boy did. And, guys, he's a good math student. He was getting all the answers right. And here was the thing that frustrated him. Half the test was just simple math, 18 mm-hmm. plus 4, that kind of math problems. The other half was using Common Core concepts, you had to do these series of drawings explaining why your answers were right. You and I were probably taught to add the numbers up in a column to carry over the ones. You don't do that anymore. And you have to use these diagrams, and mm-hmm. 18 becomes 20 minus 2, and it becomes very complicated. My little boy, who was 7 at the time, in second grade, when they asked him, why is, for example, 18 plus 4 equals 22, and all these questions, for half the test, my little boy wrote, "Just because it is."
It's
every
math.
One of those. And it's hard to argue with him. He's right. I mean, No, Common Core is a mess. We need to get it out of the classrooms. We don't need D.C. dictating curriculum to our local school district.
And of course, the question of the day, is he going to run for president? And if he does, what will that look like?
So are you getting closer to the decision?
Well, look, I'm praying and talking to my wife about it. We're thinking about it. We'll make that decision after the holidays. This is what I think. If I were to run, I think this election is all about restoring the American dream for our children and grandchildren. This president has done so many things to mess up our government, our country, whether it's $18 trillion of debt or Obamacare, whether it's the foreign policy, it's a mess, we won't stand with Israel. One of the most important things he's done, and he's trying to do, is to redefine the American dream to be all about redistribution and government dependence. That's not the American dream. The American dream has got to be about, if you're willing to work hard, if you're willing to get a great education, you can do great things in this country. We're the land of opportunity, not government handouts. And so if I were to get in, it has to be about how can we, through school choice and energy independence and a stronger foreign policy and repealing Obamacare, how can we restore the American dream for our children and grandchildren?
Rosario, you're going to say her name. I'm going to mess it up.
That was quick.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to comment on Jindal there.
Well,
anyway, Dr. Rosaria Champagne Butterfield.
Thank you.
We had her on the show.
I actually butchered her name on air with her. Yeah. So that was fun.
Well, we got to set this clip up just a little bit. She is just about to tell us about this party she's at, in which there's a whole lot of people that are, have a very leftist worldview, materialists and Marxists and some rather interesting people. And we'll let her take it from there.
And we'll have to pick up on this probably next segment, but I'm just kind of curious. Just lead off with the question:
less than a minute left.
What were some of your friends thinking? they were thinking, "Have you lost your mind?"
Certainly, many of my friends thought that this was a kind of fruitless project. But one friend in particular, a transgendered friend. She cornered me in the kitchen one Thursday night and said, "Rosaria, this Bible reading is changing you, and I'm scared." And I said, "Jay, what if I told you I think it's true and Jesus is a real and risen Lord and we're in trouble?" And she said, "Well, what would you think if I told you I had been a Presbyterian minister for 15 years?"
Wow.
And on that note, we'll be back.
Yeah,
we're going to have Rosaria back on the show again.
We definitely need to.
And talk about her new life, which the last show we spoke at length about her old life and coming to Christ.
And she's got an incredible story.
She really does.
And then another incredible fellow that we like, he's been on, I believe, a couple different times, Congressman Steve King. He explained why he didn't run for Speaker of the House.
I first wanted to ask him a question. Congressman, why didn't you throw your hat in the ring for Speaker of the House?
Well, I went pretty far, I nominated Dan Webster for Speaker of the House.
True,
that's
but
pretty far out there.
But Speaker Steve King.
Pardon me?
Speaker Steve King has a nice ring to it.
There was a little chatter on the internet making that request. But, each of us are wired differently, and we have our different roles in whatever arena we happen to be in. And it emerged for me back when I was in the Iowa Senate, and it remains, I believe, consistent today, that somebody has to be the conscience of the full-spectrum constitutional conservatives. And if you're then that's my role.
And then because of his going up against Speaker John Boehner and recommending somebody else. We asked him what is his relationship like now with the current speaker, since Speaker Boehner is obviously still Speaker Boehner.
Yeah. Tell me how this works now going forward. Having had that challenge, how do you view your relationship with the speaker, or the relationship that the speaker has with some of the more conservative folks in his party?
Well, I would just say candidly that my relationship with the speaker today, as opposed to the day before I rose and nominated Daniel Webster for his job, seems to be exactly the same. You can read into that a lot of things, and whatever is going into anybody's pessimistic mind is probably fairly accurate. But we haven't had the greatest relationship along the way for a long, long time. I don't think it had much room to deteriorate, and it doesn't appear to have.
that's rather blunt.
And that's the one thing I love about Congressman King, is you will always get a frank answer from him.
Or a Steve answer.
He won't pull any punches. He'll just tell you how it is. So we appreciate that, and I'm sure we'll have him back on. We've had a chance to talk to Congressman David Young when he was Congressman-elect David Young. We've had Rod Blum on our show, and I'm sure we'll have all three back on. So this has been fun so far. Stick with us. We got more to come.
When we come back, we'll have Senator Grassley. Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
You and your spouse are like two chemicals that become combustible when mixed. Your actions and reactions just tend to set each other off. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Early in your marriage, the differences brought fireworks that brought spark and energy to your lives. But the addition of busyness and bitterness have created a concoction that simply explodes and rocks the foundation of your marriage. Understanding how you and your spouse respond when threatened can bring stability to your volatile mixture. One tendency is to become aggressive and to push for solution. We call them attackers. The other is to run from potential conflict. We call them escapers. Two attackers have quick combustion, but the smoke clears quickly. But if you have an attacker and an escaper, the explosion takes longer, but the fallout can be more devastating. For healthy chemistry with your spouse, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, and welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is sponsored in part by Crosswalk Ministries, run by Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Call 515-292-7141 or go to www.crosswalkcounseling.org. And this is our best of anniversary show. Yes, we have actually survived 1 year. We have not been drummed out of the studio. That might be coming next week. We'll see. But we're here. Yeah,
think what it says about the show when this is the best of.
Yes, yes. And if you are just joining us, we're playing selected clips from our shows over the last year. Yeah, duh, last year. This is our anniversary show.
And we apologize in advance because we have packed the show with probably too many clips, and so right. We're having to rush through
and
them.
And we're missing some that we, you know, that have been great to have too, but we just not enough time. But we have one of my favorite people, and I wish I could share the story of how I got to know Senator Grassley a little bit vicariously through his wife, because I ended up sharing I was on an airplane and happened to sit next to her. And I had no idea who she was.
I think you did just tell the story.
I did.
Yeah.
Except, yeah. But then she actually gave me a ride from the airport to my hotel. So that was kind of cool, too.
It is cool.
Yeah. So
Grassley's
public
a nice
service.
People.
Yes.
They really are.
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, Senator Grassley.
Speaking of the administration, on Tuesday, you had the chance to listen to President Obama's sixth State of the Union address. Were you impressed?
No.
In a word?
No. When I say was I impressed, that doesn't express lack of respect for the presidency.
Right.
But this president has a very liberal agenda. He thumbs his nose at the Constitution when he uses executive orders and presidential edicts, and now there's a new term, memoranda, but it all adds up to this president using his pen and phone in a way that abrogates the constitutional responsibility of the legislature to legislate. And when you have the constitutional responsibility to legislate, that also includes not legislating if you think something should not be done. And so when the president thinks something should be done and the Congress doesn't do it or do it the way he wants it done, that doesn't give him the constitutional right to do whatever he wants to do in that same line of business.
In a word, no.
I was kind of thinking he was going to expand a little bit more on that, but really he didn't have to. I mean, no is a complete sentence. So,
all right, in his next cut, he talks about the a penchant that the government has for picking winners and losers, or certainly this particular administration, at least.
What do you think President Obama was describing? What I mean, middle class to him is what? In your response, in your prepared statement on your website, I saw that you said that his speech was full of winners and losers. Who in your mind wins and who loses?
Well, from his standpoint, the only people win in America are the upper 1%. And his philosophy is that if you're going to help the middle class, you ought to tax the 1% more. But the trouble is you can't tax the 1% more to do all that he wants done.
Right.
So eventually it hits the so-called middle class. Because you can't raise taxes high enough to satisfy the appetite of Congress to spend money or the president to spend money.
That's exactly right. Isn't that perfect? Can't tax enough to satisfy their appetite to spend. That was beautiful.
Right. And we had also, fairly recently, Kevin Jackson.
Well-known media guy, radio guy, author, lives down in St. Louis, and we had him on the show.
And he was talking to us about what it's like to be a black conservative. On the line, we have Kevin Jackson, who's president at the Black Sphere LLC. He is a net author, national speaker, radio talk show host, and all-around pain in the can. That's Brian's words here, reading off my production notes to liberals. What exactly is the can, Brian?
Never mind.
Okay.
He's a pain in the neck to liberals. Is that fair to say, Kevin?
Right, it's fair to say they need to wear a mouthpiece and a cup when they're around me.
Oh!
Well, I'd say that's definitely a badge of honor. Anytime that you can rile up a liberal, I think is a good thing. So
that's a great segue, actually. Kevin, I got to ask, what is it like in today's environment to be a hardcore black conservative?
I think it's empowering, man. I love it. I love it. And I know that's probably not the answer you would expect, because we catch pure H-E double crooked socks, as they like to say. And I love that. I love the confrontation. I thought everybody confronted. I thought when you recognize the wrong, you said it, and people rallied behind you, you look behind you, and there'd be an army. And what I learned as a black conservative is when you look behind you, man, there's nobody. You are on your own.
Nobody's got your back. There's no wingman.
No, man, look, we've got nothing but a bunch of politically correct apologists. We have two types of people in America today. We have the enablers that believe that they need to help the poor little Negro man like myself. And then we have the people who've been politically correct, you know, who've been made politically correct, who believe that these people are actually helping the poor little Negro man like myself. We don't have anybody standing up saying, first of all, why would I need to help a black dude whose ancestors survived slavery and the lack of civil rights? That dude is stronger than anybody.
We got another one from Kevin here, too. Let's just jump right into it, Ron.
You know, how patronizing and condescending and egotistical you got to be as your little bourgeois cocktail sipper to believe you can help the black race. Help us to do what? We got a black president. I'm going to have Oprah Winfrey come over and whoop your butt.
So
where do we go with that?
I'm not sure.
We got to have that guy on the show again.
He kind of took over.
He did.
I should have said, Kevin, the show is yours. And then we one of my favorite state legislators. I got several, but full disclosure, my wife actually clerks for state representative. Whoa, I about made a mistake. State senator Jason Schultz, used to be state representative. But I love this guy, and he came on to talk about just different issues. But we had an interesting conversation just in the intro.
We have to get to our guests. We have a friend of the show and of CaffeinatedThoughts.com, State Senator-elect Jason Schultz. He was a former state representative, and he had a grueling, grueling general election challenge, didn't you? That was a hard campaign.
It was a blessing for which I've given many, many thanks.
He ran unopposed, so.
Well, that's no big deal, because so did our governor.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was.
Sorry about that.
Whoops.
Yeah. Brian wanted to play that just so somebody could laugh at his joke.
Yeah. All right, we got to hustle up. One of our favorite cuts, the Obama phone lady.
Well, we just want to take a little blast from the past, the 2012
election.
Oh,
this isn't a little blast. This is an awesome
this
blast.
This is a classic sound clip from the 2012 election in response to Romney. Well, first, we're going to hear a little bit more about before she gets into Romney. But anyway, this is the Obama phone clip. I'm sure our listeners are all remember this well.
You shouldn't have said that. No, well, here, spoiled the surprise.
I know, but here it is.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
Gave you a phone?
Do more.
How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up if you're on food stamps, you're on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks.
And we're just disappointed we can't play that more now that Romney's not running. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back with a couple more clips. You can't make this stuff up.
You and your spouse are like two chemicals that become combustible when mixed. Your actions and reactions just tend to set each other off. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Early in your marriage, the differences brought fireworks that brought spark and energy to your lives. But the addition of busyness and bitterness have created a concoction that simply explodes and rocks the foundation of your marriage. Understanding how you and your spouse respond when threatened can bring stability to your volatile mixture. One tendency is to become aggressive and to push for solution. We call them attackers. The other is to run from potential conflict. We call them escapers. Two attackers have quick combustion, but the smoke clears quickly. But if you have an attacker and an escaper, the explosion takes longer, but the fallout can be more devastating. For healthy chemistry with your spouse, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. And we're wrapping up our anniversary show with a couple more clips. You can't make this stuff up.
Speaking of teachers and homework.
Sometimes a dog really does eat your homework.
Yeah, this is from you can't make this stuff up department. Sometimes the dog really did eat the homework. For her advanced placement world history class at Magnolia Texas West High School in December, Reagan Harden constructed...
Great name.
Yeah, exactly. Constructed an elaborate diorama of a middle-aged farm, which her dog ate on the night before the homework was due. Veterinarian Carl Southern performed the necessary scoping out on Roscoe. Apparently Roscoe's the dog.
Yeah.
Extracting the plastic chicken head, horse body, sheep and pig, along with wire that held the display together, warned Dr. Southern, "Don't put anything past your dog. We all say my dog would never eat that, and that's the main thing that he'll eat."
I'm just wondering, did she take that to the teacher as proof?
The dog ate my homework.
The dog really did it. What's stinking? Oh, yes, this is my homework, and the dog did eat it.
This is always my favorite segment, the you can't make this stuff up department.
Where'd you find that?
I don't know.
Because you don't have usually include a link, but... So that the ones just circulate. Hopefully that's not like, you know, we check it out on Snopes or Scopes or whatever it's called.
And this really did happen.
And you know what? To veterinarian Carl Southern, we salute you because I can't even imagine what that job is like. Let me retrieve that stuff for you.
Okay, one more. You can't make this stuff up. And now we've come to my very favorite part of the show. And you know this story must be true because
you can't make this stuff up. All right. Oh, I like this part too.
All right, here we go. Too. People's love for their pets. Okay, this people's love for their pets reached a new high in December when a British man paid a veterinarian the equivalent of $500 to perform delicate surgery on a sick office goldfish. Veterinarian Faye Bethel of North Walsham, England, told the Eastern Daily Press in December that there was nothing special about the fish, but that the customer just liked it a lot. In fact, the goldfish likely did not even have a pet name. Okay. Bethel's procedure...
I don't even know what to say.
Bethel's procedure involved removing the patient from the bowl, flooding its gills with anesthetic added water, and using a tiny scalpel to remove lumps that were causing its constipation. With the surgery guided by a miniature heart rate monitor.
Brian, you need to be more empathetic. I mean, I'm sure it was a beautiful goldfish.
The fish was constipated. I took it to the vet for surgery. Took a $5 goldfish, spent $500 on it for surgery for constipation.
Wow. I've not heard him crack up like this in quite a while. Oh man. Oh. But that is incredible. The audience is great too. How do you get a scalpel that small? She had to be using some sort of magnifying glass so she could see what she's doing. But the tiny heart rate monitor.
Oh,
it's like he's crashing. He's crashing. Clear, cold blue,
cold gold.
I'm gonna give him CPR. Well, hey, thank you everyone for listening. This is Caffeinated Thoughts.